Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. We're here till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9, and we take you into Charlie Pulido, where you'll get the real story about what actually happened yesterday. We're just going to clown here for the next. How about 6 straight wins and literally? Frank Reich, Jason Garrett, and Vance Joseph really screwed the pooch for their teams.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about some gifts. Now, you take nothing away from winning because it ain't it's tough. Bill O'Brien was right. When you play like they play, it's almost impossible to win in the NFL. So, you know, it is the hardest thing in the world to do is to win in the NFL, especially when you play offensively like the Texans did yesterday. They did not play well offensively. And Jeff Huerman may be the greatest tight end in the history of football.
Oh, man. They were getting worn out by LaCosse. And Jeff, I think it's Heuerman.
Heuerman.
Whatever it is, from Ohio State. It was just, it was like, wow. This is like that Antonio Gates game from back a few years ago with the Chargers. Remember that one where no one knew who he was, and all of a sudden he had like 4 touchdowns on the Texans in a game? Every time you looked up, they were throwing to him.
It was how many big plays did Jeff Heuerman make yesterday? It was unbelievable.
After the catch too, but
so he is the greatest tight end now in the history of the NFL. So but take nothing again. I don't know how do you feel with the way that they've won these games? It's so hot. I mean, they're 6-3, leading the division. They look like a playoff team. They're dangerous because they've got number 4. The Bills game, thanks to Nathan Peterman,
That was, one too. There's been a lot of them. You know what they say? Every year, there's 2 to 3 games that could go either way.
Right.
The Texans have had probably 4 already that have all gone their way.
It's in every team. Well, most. It's every team is 500. This is baseball. Every team is 500, and then it's those every team wins 60 games, and that's 120. And then the 42 are up for grabs.
More apropos in football, it feels like.
I
feel like in football.
No, every team in baseball wins 60. It's 60 is like the low watermark.
I feel like in football, you start at 8-8, and then you work your way, depending on if you're really good or really bad talent wise, you go up substantially. And then there are the 2 to 3 games that can flip-flop either way. You know what I never bought into when people said, well, the Texans are 0-3 but could easily be 3-0. What are you talking about? People who said that were so stupid. You had no chance against the Patriots. The Giants, you needed a late touchdown just to get within a touchdown. That was not going to be an almost win for you. And then what was the other one that they lost? The Titans could have been a win.
Yeah, that could have been
The Titans could have been a win.
So they
could have won one of the first two, but they could have lost –
yeah.
The Bills, the Cowboys, yesterday.
Well, the Colts, they could have tied.
The Colts, yeah. Well, they scored. No, the Colts tied them with the 2-point conversion, right? Is that what? The Texans. No, the Texans got a 2. No, no, no. The Colts ended up getting that 2-point conversion against them. I'm trying to remember because it was the back and forth. And then the Colts had their opportunity to
beat the Texans. Well, the Texans tied it up with a minute 50 to play on a field goal.
Yeah, the Colts. It was before that that the Colts scored and got a 2-point conversion.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then that was to make it a field goal.
Yeah. Oh no, no, no. You're right. That was the fourth quarter with 45 seconds left. Yep.
So it really could have gone either way. But you know, I kind of look at it different, John. I mean, I recognize all those things, and all those things are absolutely true. But once they're in the books, they're in the books. And right now, the way I'm looking at this is a team that has won six in a row. It is one of only. They're one of only three teams who have won six-plus games this year. The others are Saints and Rams, have had six-game win streaks, and Texans. Saints Rams put on just one unbelievable.
That's right.
The game of the year yesterday was Saints and Rams. It was unbelievable. You got Texans, who also have won six straight games, and they're not in the same class as either one of those two teams, and you and I both know it, and if you know, in Las Vegas would certainly know it. But at some point, when things are breaking your way, some of it is you're making your own breaks. Now, a guy missing a field goal at the end is missing a field goal at the end. There's no, and you gave them an opportunity by not stomping out a 4th and 8, and you let the drive was extended. Kareem Jackson just barely missed tipping the ball when he was diving to keep Emmanuel Sanders from catching it. But sometimes when the breaks are going your way, you just ride it out. And the Texans right now, when you look at Randy McAvoy and I talked about this yesterday, you look at their schedule, they will be an underdog against the Philadelphia Eagles. I believe they will be a 1 to 1.5 point favorite at Washington now. Washington got stomped by Atlanta yesterday. Wasn't even close. I think the Houston Texans end up a small favorite at Washington, anywhere from a pick to minus one. They will be favorites against every team in the division at home. They will, including Jacksonville, they will be favorites against the Jets. This thing really swings in their favor from this point forward, John. It's hard not to see them getting 10 wins.
I don't know about that Redskins. I'm going to say
Redskins.
Well, it depends on how the Redskins play at the Bucs next week.
-1.5 Redskins in that game.
I think at home the Redskins are going to be. It'll be close. We'll see.
It's going to be around pick 'em, but I just think that Houston is going to have momentum. Is going to have a momentum number put to them, and that's why I think they may end up being a small.
Well, here's
favorite.
The thing: is are the Texans now becoming? Are they becoming a public team?
Well, that's a different conversation. That's a gambling conversation.
Right. Well, but that's where the number comes from. You know, what kind of perception?
Well,
is there?
I think there is. I mean, anytime you have a team on a win streak, there is, and we know that it's a little bit smoke and mirrors in terms of a six game. Not to take anything away from the wins, but you know, if you're talking about a 6-win team, a team that's won six in a row, that's a little bit smoke and mirrors in there. We all, if you're just being honest about it, Nathan Peterman's pick six is one. And then number two, if you just want to go two, is a missed field goal just now.
Well, missed field goal.
There's more. There's clearly more.
Yeah, Frank Reich's decision to go for it. That should have been a tie.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett not going for
it.
Not going for it on 4th and 1.
But have those wins fundamentally changed the mindset of the Texans? That's a question.
I think so. Hey, listen.
I do too. That's why I factor that stuff.
Listen, it ain't easy. Again, Bill O'Brien is right. It ain't easy to win in the NFL. And a lot of teams, how about the Browns? They go to overtime every week and they end up losing those games because they lose.
They have a loser's
You know what the
mindset.
Texans do? They win.
Yeah.
Texans win. And you know what? We got a winning team here. It's hard to put a finger on how good the team is, but damn it, they're winning.
Yep.
They're 6-3, leading the division. They got a week off. They should feel great
and
about
themselves.
They've
got a favorable schedule. I mean, that's all I know is they've got a favorable schedule because all of their games are at home. I've never seen it like this where every single one of those games were on the road. Now they've got all of the games are at home in the division. Jacksonville, Tennessee, and the Colts. You're gonna get them all at home, and you will have an opportunity to sweep those. You'll be a favorite in all of those. You'll have a chance to sweep those. If you do, there's three wins. I don't think the Jets are going to beat the Texans. There's four more wins. You're up to potentially 10 wins. Now you could lose somewhere along the way, but one of the reasons they're winning right now is J.J. Watt is having a really good bounce back year, and it will be the front runner for comeback player of the year. Absolutely, and should be. Jadeveon Clowney is having a big impact on games. Kareem Jackson might be having his best year of his career.
I think he is.
The game yesterday he had was unbelievable as a tackler and run supporter.
Last week, Pro Football Focus put out their first half team, and Kareem Jackson was on it.
Kareem has been incredibly consistent in a season where I thought, in the offseason, I thought there's a chance he's not on this team. He can't run anymore. He can't play corner. You've got Justin Reed you just brought in. You got Tyrann Mathieu. Like, maybe he's a cap casualty and they'll save a little money. Instead, the guy has played safety. He's played corner. He has been consistent. Kareem Jackson
has been
terrific.
He's not only been consistent, he's been really, really good. Really good.
Yep.
So, no, Kareem is having a great year. And who'd have thunk that? You know, hey, and Jonathan Joseph was playing well before he went down, too. To think that these older corners that you have to depend on, which was a weakness going into the season, guess what? It's not a weakness. You haven't had Aaron Colvin for how long now?
Man, it's been, what, four games?
Sharice Wright has played well. Kareem Jackson had to move back to corner. He has played well.
I didn't think Mike Tyson played
particularly
well.
There's guys I've never heard of.
Yeah, Natrell Jamerson, Mike Tyson, who they added either this week or last week.
And he's out there. I'm like, Mike Tyson?
He's starting.
What the hell?
He's starting. They had guys like, wait a minute, Brian Peters is starting. So is Mike Tyson. So is like, look at, who the hell? Why are all these guys starting? But that's, you know, they have had a next man up mentality and it hasn't sunk them. And, you know, Demaryius Thomas came in. I thought Demaryius, it was nice seeing him right off the bat get those two catches. After that, not much of a factor. And I saw him get open a couple times and it was just clear. It was just clear that Deshaun wasn't really going to look his way. Didn't really trust that he would know what to do. Then in the second half, there was some confusion about where Deshaun had to late in the play clock. Had to tell him what to do and what the play was.
Well, you knew there would be some of that.
And, yeah, so you knew that he wasn't really going to be a huge factor.
Yeah, he looked
like it was nice seeing the first two catches. Did you see the response that the fans gave him? They showed it on Twitter before, or I think it was on the Texans website. They had the response, the field level. When his name was mentioned, the place just...
They love him.
And he raised his hands. I mean, they just went bananas. But now you got a bye week. So he'll have 2 weeks to prepare. It's going to be much different looking with for him to acclimate himself enough to the playbook to get out there as a starter. That was pretty impressive. With 2 weeks to prepare, you're going to see a full-on version of Demaryius Thomas and Nuke Hopkins.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And Jordan Thomas.
That's a good pickup.
The red zone machine.
That's a good pickup. They had to have a playmaker, and dude, he can just flat-out play. By the way, the Patriots have won 6 in a row, so you add that to your list.
After yesterday,
last night.
Yeah, it was
very impressive, too, by the way. Another victory for them over the Packers, and a nice cover as well.
So let's see. The Patriots. So, John, let me just get this straight. It's the Saints, the Rams, the Patriots, and the Texans. Yeah, all the favorites.
All the best teams.
All the best in the AFC, the two best
in the
AFC.
No, the best teams in the league.
Yep.
They've won six in a row.
That's about right. Yeah.
Okay, now name all the other teams that won 6 in a row. Yeah, okay. All right, 811 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. So your thoughts on our Texans. You can't poo-poo it. They didn't play well offensively. Even Bill O'Brien, we'll have Bill O'Brien sound afterwards. His speech to the team. Said, you know what, we played great on defense, we played great on special teams. Offense. So we'll hear from him. And we're not trying to, hey, no reason to be negative. This team is a good football team. It's won 6 straight games in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Had a little bit of luck along the way, but you know what? They've got everything ahead of them in the second half, and we'll see what happens.
Well, we're just talking about, I mean, you know. It is true.
No, but a lot of people, you know what, instead of being negative, they won 6 straight games, it's a good football team.
No, we're discussing, no one needs to be fussy, which you've had some smoke and mirrors, but I don't really, it doesn't matter as much to me, because I just think once your mindset gets rolling, you make a good point, it happens the other way too, where the Browns, who are not a bad team, when it starts rolling the other way, you have a hard time stopping.
That's right. You can't stop that train. You know who else?
I'll tell you another one.
Who else is a winner?
Now on Friday we were a little concerned.
You thought the Rockets sucked.
Concerned about your 1-5 Houston Rockets.
No, I'm not the one who said he was going to bet against them.
Yeah, and what happened?
What
they
happened?
Took everybody's money. Against
Them. Then what happened?
Anybody
I'm not the one who forcibly
who dared
came out and said I'm betting against them.
Anybody
week.
Who dared
Odell,
to
what
go
happened?
Against them with the Nets.
You tell me. They cost you money, didn't they?
They kind of did.
Anybody? Well, you know.
That's on me.
Yep.
Not thinking that this team was going to win, that's stupid.
Two in a row on the road. They go out, they take care of the Nets. They go out and they take care of the Bulls. James is back. Well, guess what? Now you've got going on the 17th annual Rockets Run presented by Children's Memorial Hermann. That's going to be this Saturday at Toyota Center. Race registration includes a ticket to a future Rockets game, a t-shirt, you got a post-race party, and much, much more. Choose from the 5K fun run, 2K walk, or kids 1K events. Finish line is on center court. So visit Rockets.com. I think I'm going to get my kids in it. Visit Rockets.com. /Rockets Run and register today. This is going to be a lot of fun. It goes to a great charity. And wouldn't you like to have tickets to the brand new resurgent Houston Rockets? You can get your future ticket when you participate in this great event. It's this Saturday at Toyota Center. For more information, once again, go to rockets.com/Rockets Run.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying about this team. You guys are a special group of guys. But, you know, we got a ways to go here, but it's games like that. That's why you are who you are. You know, nothing was easy in that game. Defensively, you guys came up big at the end. Came up big. Special teams came up big.
Yes, sir.
Okay, offensively, a little inconsistent. Just got to get a little bit more consistency, okay? But look, guys, look, the bottom line is congratulations to you for what you've done.
That's right. That is the bottom line.
Just
congratulations.
Just a little inconsistent with the
offense. They are. They're a little inconsistent. They can be better, but, man, when Martinez Rankin has to come in for a play, it's horrific. Let's not do that anymore.
Whoa.
Man.
Please stop playing with tackles.
He can't. He is.
Please. I spoke with somebody.
He's just a rookie, so we got to give him some time.
A scout who said we were on site, and he's like, we were talking about Martinez Rankin, and I said, I wrote him as a guard center. I don't say anything. He goes, yeah, that's what he is. He said, you know, he can give you maybe a little bit at right tackle. He said he's an interior player.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got to see. Now, he was against Von Miller. But
yeah.
Von beat him so badly. It was like, if Kendall Lamb is out for – can you? This is where we are as an organization now in the middle of a six-game win streak where you just say, Kendall Lamb has got to get healthy and get back out on that field. Did you ever think that would ever be – uttered that phrase, Kendall Lamb has got to get back out there.
No, but he's done a nice job.
He has done
really
a nice
has.
Job.
I thought that was like the sign of the apocalypse that you're going to start Kendall Lamb at tackle.
No,
good Lord.
He knows how to play.
You're going to kill Deshaun, and actually he's played pretty well.
He's just physically, he's a sneaky player. He's got some sneaky athletic ability. He's just not strong. He's not strong enough to be a full-time starter in the league. But he's a get-by player where you can get by with him. And I don't know that he's going to be on the team a lot longer. I think ultimately you're going to, you know, Davenport has to figure out if he can be a full-time starter in the league on a good team. You clearly need to draft on the offensive line still. I think Mike Devlin, everyone knows Mike Devlin's name, the O-line coach. Everyone's going to want to kill him. Mike Devlin has done a pretty good job with the pieces he has. Senio Calamente is a backup who starts.
Yeah.
You have, but, Greg, you've had to play rotating right guard.
But don't you feel better with Mance out there anyway?
No, I do. Personally, yeah, I do. But Senio was back, you know, Senio's back in. And then you have,
until he goes down.
And you got two tackles that I think are probably better at. Kendall is fighting for a swing tackle spot on a good team to make the team. And Julian Davenport is probably, if he can't play right tackle, he's probably a swing tackle on a lot of teams. Maybe a lower end starter at left tackle.
But
Mike Devlin's done a good job of making that
work. Have we heard that Julian was getting Deshaun killed the last few weeks?
No. He needs to be better, but I think he's done an admirable job. That's my point. Is Mike Devlin has them to the point that they're playing adequate football, and that's no small. Listen, this is not a talented offensive line. You got to work with what you have, and I think he's done a good job of getting the most out of what they have the ability to do.
Yeah,
they're not a very capable, able from a talent standpoint. They're running the ball.
Not yesterday. This week, notwithstanding.
Can't stop at Josie.
We got a bunch of calls in here. People want to talk about our Houston Texans. Let's see.
Go.
Biscuit will be up first if Dell is. Dell just left the show. Dell just decided that he didn't want to be part of the show anymore.
Dell's right there.
No, he left. He wasn't in there. That's all he said was he was refuting that he didn't say the Rockets sucked when he
actually,
obviously did.
Since we're telling the truth here, I was trying to figure out the stream. We're having issues. That's all.
Oh, who cares? No one cares about the stream.
Well, plenty of people do. That's why I'm trying to
Twitter does.
Biscuit wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Biscuit.
What's happening, fellas? Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning, Biscuit.
Hey, man, I think one of the narratives I was talking to your producer about, man, is this not getting played enough, in my opinion, is the old man is moving pieces around. There's no way with the corners they got out there. These dudes are off the street. You can't tell me they got. And he, the way he's moving Merciless and Clowney around, and then J.J. is, you know, is bounce back kudos to J.J., but the old man is moving pieces around. And the front seven is just so dominant that the other teams can't take advantage of the weaknesses on the outside.
You're exactly right. Bob McNair has done a great job. The old man.
I don't. Romeo Crennel. Listen, I want to say this, though. I know Vrabel had a bunch of injuries last year.
Nah, Romeo's
but let's face it.
Romeo's the man.
It is. This is there is a huge upgrade. You guys take him as your head coach. That's fine.
Do you see the stuff that, like, Whitney Merciless is playing 4-3 linebacker. They'll go to a 4-3 front.
I didn't know Whitney Merciless was still on the team.
Well, he is. And he'll sometimes be playing up on the linebacker level. Not as a pass rusher. He's got the one where he has Whitney and Jadeveon where they bump inside, and the inside linebackers go outside, and he matches up the pass rushers on the guards, where Jadeveon actually has a lot of success doing that. He got after Case Keenum yesterday with a hold. They had to hold him on that play, and it was called a hold. Whenever I think it was Max Garcia or whoever was holding him because he got whipped.
Yep.
I mean, Romeo, I completely agree with Biscuit. The job that Romeo Crennel, when you can cover up for, I mean, these are backups to guys off the streets playing in the secondary. And the only way that you can cover those guys up is you got to scheme effectively and you got to rush a passer. And sometimes you got to manufacture your pass rush. And Romeo has done a
great job.
What a great job.
No, he is. He's the Brent Strom of this coaching staff.
He is the Brent Strom of this coaching staff. Why is, And that's a good hitting. The Astros are a good hitting team. Why do we not get anything from Hudgens? Why doesn't he not get any love, John?
I don't know. Because
is Bill O'Brien the Hudgens of the team?
No.
He doesn't feel like an AJ Hinch.
Don't
I'm being honest with you.
Don't insult Dave Hudgens by comparing him to Bill O'Brien.
I'm sorry that a 6-game win streak that we're in the middle of that day.
Well, AJ Hinch won a lot of games sometimes when his hitting wasn't going good this year. So he's closer to AJ Hinch than he is to Dave Hudgens.
He's closer to AJ Hinch.
If we're going to make this say that ever. Because I know one of them is supposed. I know Bill O'Brien is supposed to be an expert in something. It was tweeted out yesterday. I think it was perfect. Someone said Bill O'Brien is kind of trash at play calling and game management, but he's good at getting his team ready to play. I wish I could give the person credit. Like they say, Bill O'Brien would be perfect in like 1992, like just being a motivational guy, getting the guys ready to go. But unfortunately, it's
Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's 2018.
Well, he put play caller on his own. I mean, it's on his own back. If you're being fair about it, even the most ardent anti Bill O'Brien guys out there have to admit, Bill O'Brien's teams don't really quit on seasons. Like, you know, last year was a disaster. You didn't have enough talent. We've seen this team. Remember the two straight disasters, Miami and then Atlanta, and they could have folded up shop, and then the team didn't. Like this year at 0-3, they didn't fold up the tents. It's they do keep playing, which I've always
wondered if
they would.
Well, they were more talented, though, than 0-3. Maybe they ain't six straight wins talented,
right?
But they were better than 0-3.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. Yep. They're 8-8, 9-7 talented, but they're going to – I think they're going to have a better record than that based on the –
All right, let's
division.
Stay on track. 7:26. Yeah, by the way, we have to change clocks. Change clocks? 7:26.
There's a clock right on that screen.
I look there.
You mean the one that's
This is the greatest weekend of the year. Is
no,
when
it's not.
You have LSU,
it's dark
Alabama.
At 5:30.
You have LSU, Alabama.
Screw
the
LSU,
game of the
Alabama.
Game
that
of the century.
Game didn't even exist. And
game
you know
of
what?
The century.
No.
And then
it's
we go
not
back.
Even part of my
it was
life.
At, and then we go back
it was
an hour.
We get an extra hour of sleep, and then LSU fans can get up. I don't know, and be like, man,
Did they score yet?
No, they didn't score.
Yeah. Joe Burrow's put one on them yet?
Joe Burrow, hey, you said this is where the Joe Burrow magic starts?
Wasn't it 29?
The Joe Burrow magic never ends. It's always there.
I call Joe Burrows.
It's Joe Burrow.
Burrows.
And you should hear everybody in the crowd, too. Come on, Joe.
Don't they know?
Joe, make that throw,
don't
Joe.
Don't they know what they have already?
Like Joe Burrows. Joe, he was wide open.
Big Ten quarterback.
I'm sorry, you had third string?
He was behind Haskins and Barrett last year.
Yeah.
Third string Big Ten quarterback.
Listen, Purdue backup came in and started here.
So would you take LSU? Would you have taken Danny Etling last night? I mean, on Saturday night?
Yeah, I guess you would.
I told you pretty he's much. A poor man's Danny Etling. 7:25.
Shut up! I don't want to talk about this anymore. This is. Let me tell you, that was like the best atmosphere I've ever. And I've been to thousands of games there.
Was it really the best atmosphere ever
and the worst game ever?
It was a double bubble. Let me tell you what's a great atmosphere is your home once you're saving money. So my wife is finally going to help my father-in-law out and get all the bills together. I've got a feeling he's going to break the record. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I've got to make sure that they can work on the corporate accounts too because I found out what his internet bill was and it's like, oh my gosh, that internet bill at his office is ridiculous. And when my wife finally gets all these together and we get Bill Advisor, I think it's going up over $4,000 in savings, maybe even higher over the course of 1 year. And whenever I talk about Bill Advisor readjusting your bills and your rates, and it saves you, let's just say $970 this year. Well, what we never talk about is that next year, your rates are still going to be lower than what you were previously paying. So, in other words, your savings are going to continue to pile up year after year. But what happens with Bill Advisor is because you retain them on a monthly basis for just $12.99 a month, they will go in and look at your bills. You know, after 6 months, you'll have them try to raise this rate. They go in and fight for you. And when there's a new special that is out there, Bill Advisor will go in and try to get you signed up under the new rates and under the new specials. I use them whenever the new iPhones come out. I use Bill Advisor to negotiate with me so we can get, you know, no activation, special bonuses for this phone, whatever the case may be. I have them as my advocate. They can be your advocate too. Just text GO to 232323 and Bill Advisor will start for you to negotiate your bills down to new customer rates. And the savings there are going to be substantial. Text GO to 232323. Or for more information, check out the website at BillAdvisor.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 734-713-780-3776. We got callers have been waiting to get in here and give their opinion on what happened with our Houston Texans and everything college football as well. If you want to, or Rockets, whatever you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
A little better over the weekend.
They sure did. They won. Of course, it was. Now, Brooklyn can, you know, jack up some threes. The Bulls are just horrible.
Doesn't matter. Any win is a good win for the Rockets. Get them back on the right side.
Jonathan is here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. It's Jonathan from Houston. I guess it's like a two-part question. One, first mainly being, do you think in his previous years, is Bill O'Brien becoming more of a risk-taker? Is that what we need? Fourth down conversions, you know, things like that. I haven't really seen him going for the extra point, or the two-point conversion, rather. And the second part would be, is it because the new era quarterback, they're giving more collegiate style plays, which goes into risk taking, you know, the little trick plays where Hopkins is throwing it. You know, overall, though, do you think he's really changing stuff up, or is it still the vanilla play calling?
Well, first of all, I want to start with the collegiate thing. Absolutely, because of the way that college football is being played and because there's been some success, Doug Peterson using the run pass option stuff last year. You know, the Saints and Drew Brees gets to run spread offense stuff at Purdue when he was there in the late 90s to early, you know, to 2000. So that was nothing new for him. And then he came into the pros, and we know that, you know, Peyton Manning did some of that stuff once he got out of the Colts, and that's all Tom Brady does is work out of the gun, mostly. So, but those were outliers. Now we're seeing real college stuff come in. And why wouldn't we see college stuff come in? All these players played in these offenses. Why wouldn't you make them comfortable? So I do think that is fundamentally changing football, and I think we see it with some of the scores that are being scored. As far as Bill becoming a risk taker, you know, he's gone for fourth downs unsuccessfully around the goal line with the Texans against the Dallas Cowboys. He went for fourth down unsuccessfully. Not a big fan of running it up the middle with an offensive line that I think is just average to below average in terms of getting push. If they can't get you a yard on the goal line, why are they going to be able to get you a yard, you know, at the 40-yard line? I don't. They're not built to knock you off the ball.
Yeah, listen, I don't mind going for it.
I don't mind that.
I know, going for it, but go for it at the right time. I mean,
did you have a problem with it yesterday?
No.
On that fourth down? I didn't either.
I didn't either. No. He's had that issue, though, is when risk-reward. Bill O'Brien has had a risk-reward issue with throwing the flag, going for it on fourth down, that kind of thing. Frank Reich had a risk-reward issue. Jason Garrett had a risk-reward issue. When you're down, you got to go for it. You got to go for it. And
Vance Joseph had a risk-reward issue.
Yeah, 62 yards.
Now McManus.
And how about using up some clock instead of...
I thought that was so stupid at the time. To take that shot with 19 seconds, a kick from that distance where you know the Texans can score, you literally gave the Texans 3 points. What are you doing if you're Vance Joseph? I thought that was so dumb. The freezing the kicker thing, it works for you sometime, it doesn't work for you other times, whatever the case may be. But Tom Herman had one of those over the weekend. But Vance Joseph taking that kind of chance where you could – there's a good chance you're going to give the other team points was so stupid.
Well, I thought – who was on
that
the call?
That was Frank Reich stuff to
who
me.
Who was on the call yesterday in the Texans game?
I didn't recognize
the color names. Commentator. I think he made the point, and I think he's accurate, is you almost don't want to because the kicker is thinking, is he going to call it? Is he going to call timeout? Is he going to call timeout? Is he going to call timeout? And instead of worrying about the kick, you know, thinking totally about the kick, he's worried whether or not there's going to be a timeout called. Kiami Fairbairn missed it the first time.
With the timeout.
And McManus missed it, and Bill O'Brien didn't call timeout.
Well, my issue with
have one left. He called timeout before. He called timeout before the kick even happened. Remember,
yeah, it was the Broncos who.
He didn't do this.
Oh, I thought the Texans still had one left.
No, the Texans had burned it. Right?
Whether they had it or not, they didn't call one.
They called it before. They called a timeout before the kick, but not like right before the kick. Because remember, there was that were waiting.
But Vance Joseph had a couple things. First, now McManus hadn't missed a kick entering the game, but to try a 62-yarder, you know. What had long been the longest kick in NFL history, or what was it, 63 yards? Let's try something that is historic.
Well, with 4 seconds, with 3 seconds to go, 19?
Yeah, and then learning nothing from, you know, smart coaches, you just picked up like 5 yards. The defense is completely on its heels. Why are you wasting 25 seconds? Why don't run another slant? Why are you settling for a 50-plus yard field goal to win the game?
That was that was unbelievable. It wasn't windy at the kick. It had been a major issue at times during that game, the wind, and it was not an issue at all during that kick. I'm with you. How many times have we on your hands? You could probably count more than 10 times of watching football, right? Where coaches settle for 40 or even a 50-yard field goal late in the game and it misses. It is the even 30-something. Like, go get as much as you can. What are you doing? I'm glad they didn't.
And Demaryius Thomas was asked about it because a lot of Texans were. He goes, that's what they do over there. I ain't part of that no more. We like to win over here.
that's a little aggressive, Demaryius.
He goes, that's what they do over there. I ain't a part of that no more. We like to win over here.
Oh, God.
And Clowney talked about it. Matt, Tyrann Mathieu, they all were
and
like,
and Bill O'Brien said, nice job, you dumb
That was at the end of the half.
That was the half.
That's what I mean.
Well, he could have done
He had bad decisions in both halves.
He could have done it again if he wanted to, if he wanted to.
All right, everyone's asking, like, did we see it? There is a video that somebody captured of the – I mean, it was on TV where after the Texans missed a field goal when Vance Joseph called timeout, and then he has no timeouts left and Fairbairn hits it. And this, of course, was after Vance Joseph also decided to try to kick a 62-yard field goal and give the Texans an opportunity to move the ball down the field quickly to get a chance at a field goal, which they ended up converting. There is a video where it looks like Bill O'Brien says, "Nice job, Vance, you dumb bleep." Yeah.
Yeah.
And he runs off the field. Now, Bill O'Brien, do we have sound of it, of him addressing that or no?
I don't know. I think the Texans made a statement because it had gone viral. And actually, I think Pro Football Talk actually had a story about it. And Bill O'Brien refuted it. He said, "I would never say that about another coach." And I did not say that. I would never say that about another coach.
I know what it looks like. What did he say? He said.
He didn't. He said, I don't think he said he knew. I don't think he said what he said.
Because Twitter was lip reading Dana Holgorsen, which I thought they read him correctly. You guys want to win? Let's go win the game. I thought, yep, that is what he said.
That is what he said.
And when somebody said, "This is what Bill O'Brien's saying," and I watched it, I thought, yep, that is what he's saying in both instances.
Except we know a guy that can make it look like exactly what they're saying, and it's all goofy stuff.
Well, it's the guy who does bad lip reading was actually here doing commercials with us 50-60.
Right. Let's get Doug in here. You want to talk about that LSU game? What do you say, Doug?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What do you say?
Hello? Just want to let you guys know. Also, I created my MyBookie account this weekend.
Nice,
easy peasy. Put in my promo code, got my match, and then LSU happened. So, anyway, why is it that LSU is incapable of getting a Heisman caliber quarterback? They're great everywhere else on the ball. But the last quarterback they had that was even worthy of consideration was Russell. And you know how many years ago that was.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they can't get any decent quarterbacks to come to the school.
I've always wondered why Texas can't get linemen, offensive linemen from the state of Texas anymore that are pro quality. I mean, Connor Williams is the first in four since Mike Williams. Remember how long ago that was when Major and Chris Sims were playing? And Chris Sims almost ended the career of Mike Williams or Sed Benson after an interception against Colorado that they had to make a tackle. And then why LSU with all these great wideouts, great to good. They always have solid.
LSU is a major in the SEC.
Josh Booty was supposed to be the guy. You had Ryan Perilou was. I mean, they've had guys that were supposed to be the guy.
Supposed to. So they had a 25-year best player for me, and Odell was there. Brady James was there. From each position, who do you think was the quarterback at LSU? And they honored him on the field.
Was it Jamarcus?
They wouldn't bring him back.
No. Nope.
Wasn't Matt Mock?
It was the other Matt.
It was Flynn?
Oh, Matt Flynn?
Matt Flynn. That's the best that the LSU has done.
That was on Saturday night?
It was on Saturday night. They brought the 20. Odell was there because they've got a bye week. They had a couple other guys.
Was Leonard Fournette there?
Leonard Fournette was there.
He was on the sideline.
Yeah.
I saw him.
All the greats. Leonard Fournette, Odell James, Jamal Adams, Matt Flynn. All the big-time talents.
Well, for
Patrick Peterson, Matt Mock.
Matt Flynn actually lasted in the NFL for more than a year and a half.
Got a big deal.
Like Jamunchies.
Six TDs versus the Lions.
He's famous for being signed and then immediately drafted with Russell Wilson.
Russell took his job.
Lee was the last five-star to commit, says Tiny, but he went to play baseball.
Tiny ain't calling today.
Man, there was a disconnect because remember Les would go recruit these dual-threat guys and then run the 1980s offense. So there was a disconnect there.
Yeah, but even still, LSU would get a quarterback.
The guys, their best quarterback.
Well, here's the problem with it is Les runs a pro-style offense, yet he wants a Jordan Jefferson. A Ryan Perilou.
The best quarterback.
But Les isn't there anymore, though.
No, but he was there for 8 years, or 9 years, whatever it was.
Well, everyone knew that was kind of like.
And so, now that tradition has continued. It's just a they just do a horrific job of evaluating
but
that
position.
But,
what's funny is
for whatever reason,
you look at Alabama, Alabama has had the same issues, and once they got a legitimate passer to go, and I think Tua is really good. Don't get me wrong. Jerry Jeudy, the talent they have at wide receiver is so good right now that I think Tua just has to be accurate and be able to hit the deep ball, which he really can now. He's got a live arm. Now, he might be a really, really, really good quarterback, too. That's an option. But I think a good quarterback.
I was just above field level, and I've never been. I thought, okay, whatever. Tua is really,
good. The year he's having.
He is really,
and the idea that, he hasn't faced a defense like this.
He spins it so nice, dude. I mean, nobody throws a pretty ball.
He did throw his first pick of the year, but Ed Ogeron was asked about it after the game, and he went after his lines. He says, we're not, and I think that's been LSU's problem for quite a bit. They stick, I get it, you want to be physical, you want it, but you don't out-Bama Bama.
No.
LSU has great wide receivers, but even still, they're not at the level that Bama's are. You can't out-Bama. You go find yourself a quarterback.
No, but it would have been nice. I mean, we kid about Joe Burrow, but it would have been nice to have him get a little bit of time. I mean, honestly.
They don't respect you.
Everything was, I thought early on, you know, they moved the ball down the field a little bit. They were quick hitting stuff.
Yeah.
You know, try to throw in a run every once in a while. I thought their game plan was pretty good. But then when he tries to throw a 15-yard dig down the field, he's just, the pocket just collapses.
But he was ineffective for his entire season. I get it. Alabama exacerbated it, but it wasn't like they had a sophisticated passing game going in.
No, they don't have.
It was not a good week for local teams with Rice, Houston, A&M, Texas. It was, now, the pro teams did fine, but for the college teams, not a great weekend.
No, one of the worst.
Yeah.
A&M just fell apart in the fourth quarter.
I mean, so many turnovers. Did you see how badly they outgained, outfirst?
Listen, Kellen Mond, as well as he's played, he lost in that game Saturday.
You got to play better. You got to take care of the ball. Nope. Let's and all the fumbles too they had. Let's talk about my friends over at Men's T Clinic. So the difference is night and day when you are low on testosterone and then you get up to the level you're supposed to be at. And the first thing to happen, and I'm speaking from experience. The first thing that happens is, I got a little extra pep in the step. I'm going later in the evening with workouts or working, whatever the case may be. Then after a couple months, 2 or 3 months, you start to see a real difference in your body type changing and losing belly fat and losing weight and leaning down, especially if you're doing a little bit of working out and you're just moderating what you eat a little bit. You'll start to, it really expedites the process for you. But you just feel so much better. And I explain this like this. It's like a funk. It's like a cloud that hangs over you. When your testosterone is low, you just don't have the same drive and determination and zeal for life. That really gets to it. You just end up laying around on weekends and not living life. You just end up as a couch potato, and that's really no way to go through life. You got to live your life. You got to go out there and make it happen on the weekends. Go enjoy yourself. And one of the best ways to do that is to get that testosterone level back to where it's supposed to be so you have that drive and determination and you just feel better. Make your decision to go in and get tested today at Men's T Clinic. They're waiting for you at 4 locations, Cypress, Pearland, Pasadena, and the Heights. And it will be, and it could be one of the most important decisions that you make in your life, going to mensteaclinic.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 8:51 ESPN 97. 8:51. Can we? I gotta change that clock.
We'll change it. 7:51.
It's 7:51. Everybody's saying they think they're late for work.
Daylight saving.
That's the producer's job. Producer job has to. You have to change the clocks.
There's a clock right in front of you.
That's over there. I gotta look to the right and
it's
do that.
It's actually easier.
I'm looking because I'm always looking at you.
No, you're not.
Through the window
lie.
There.
That's a flat out lie. And that one's closer to you. Just look.
No, I can't. It's impossible. David wants to get in here. I don't think he believes in our Texans in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. Hey, David.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. John, I'm going to use your logic. I agree with you about Harden being an MVP, but he kind of shrinks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Haven't seen Bill O'Brien make me feel comfortable about anything. They can win 12 games. They can win 10 games. But I feel he's going to get undressed when he faces a coach, you know, that has better acumen than he does. And so I haven't seen anything thus far that's going to say I feel comfortable with his play calling or his decisions. And I'll hang up and listen.
It's hard to argue.
That's not an unreasonable call.
It's not. No. No. I can see where you wouldn't trust Bill O'Brien yet. I can see that. I mean, I haven't. What have we seen against so this win streak so far? Okay, let's take a look at the teams that they've beaten. It started with Indianapolis. They're a 3-5 team.
And they're playing better now than they were then.
Dallas is crappy. Buffalo is the worst team in the league.
Buffalo's the worst team. I watched a lot of that game yesterday because I was interested to see if Nate Peterman would get over 154.5 yards passing.
No.
I was very interested. He did.
He did?
Yeah. He had 180-something. He killed it. He had 3 interceptions, but two of them weren't even, like, this kid's got the worst luck. Like, if he's at a poker table, he's for sure getting aces cracked every single time. He has no chance. One of them was, like, a really great throw under duress. Terrell Pryor caught it and then just, like, as he's being tackled, threw it into the air.
Yeah.
It gets picked off and running for a pick six. Another one. I didn't even know this is a rule. They're running a bubble screen on 4th-and-1. It gets thrown. They're 1 yard beyond the line of scrimmage, almost a yard, not quite, but just past the line of scrimmage. The cornerback smashes the wide receiver before the ball even gets there. And as the guy's falling down, it hits the wide receiver's arm, goes up in the air. They catch it and run in for a pick six. Like, those are two of his interceptions. They had to go. So it turns out this is the rule. Did you know this is the rule? If you're within 1 yard or less of the line of scrimmage, you can interfere with that catch. You can just beat the hell out of the wide receiver before the ball gets there. It's legal.
Or it's legal. A screen pass. Yeah, you can too.
Yeah.
You can blow them up.
But no. But if it's beyond 1 yard, you can't.
2 yards back or 2 yards ahead?
Forward. If you're beyond 1 yard of the line of scrimmage, you cannot interfere.
Oh.
If you're inside of 1 yard of the line, if you're at 1 yard or inside, you can hit the wide receiver before the ball comes. I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Oh, okay, back to this, though.
Yeah.
Buffalo. Okay, first.
Terrible.
Colts. Not a good team. Dallas. Not a good team. Buffalo. Not a good team. Jacksonville, not a good team. Miami, not a good team. Although 5-4 now.
Jacksonville is a better team than Miami.
No, really? They're 3-5.
I know, but Jacksonville is a better team than Miami.
They are what they are. They're 3-5.
Jacksonville has better roster
talent. No, you're looking at the uniforms from last year, Lance. They're not a good football team.
Their talent is way better than the Dolphins. They are.
But they're
guess
not
what?
Playing.
One team's 5-4, and the other team is 3-5.
I get that, but if the two teams play Jacksonville, if they just don't completely implode, they beat the brakes off.
Well, you
Brock
have
Osweiler.
To. You
did
have to,
you see any of that game yet? That was the worst game that football has
it.
Produced.
I didn't watch.
Was
it.
Was the Jets? It was unbelievably bad.
But I would. But you'd have to assume the Jacksonville Jaguars may implode because that's what they've done.
Yeah, no, they very well could.
Yeah.
But the point is, and when you play Jacksonville, they certainly weren't playing good football. That's for sure.
Now, in fairness, the Jacksonville did lose to the Titans. Okay. They also lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Cowboys, they lost to the Texans, and they lost to the Eagles. So,
there's some talented
that's
teams
better. Man. That is actually.
But the Texans lost to the Giants.
Yeah, right. So,
what does any of
mean? What any of this means is that, who was it? David was just saying, we haven't seen Bill O'Brien beat a good team. The one good team that they played, actually, the Texans came into this season with the second easiest schedule in the NFL. New England had the easiest schedule. The Texans had the second easiest schedule. And you would have to think, how's New England? They got a first-place schedule. Well, they get to play everybody in their division twice, which are all bad teams. And then they get to play the AFC, the whole AFC South, which is all bad teams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, coming into the year, they had a playoff team in their division, but the Bills are terrible.
Right.
I remember the Bills were like 9-7.
The Bills are,
which
I
actually
think the
helped
Bills,
that strength of schedule, but they're awful.
I wouldn't sleep on the Jets as one of the worst teams in the league. But right now, the
Miami.
If you rank the AFC South and the AFC East, and you put all the teams together and you rank them, it would be New England 1.
Texans 2.
Houston 2. I think the Colts are in the top 4.
Yeah.
They're a 3-5 team, and the Colts are in the top 4. And I don't know who 3 is. I get maybe the Dolphins, but I don't.
The Dolphins are beat up as hell. You know, no starting quarterback.
The Dolphins feel about like the
it would
types.
Be the Dolphins.
The tackles.
You got to give them credit for their 5-4 record.
They found a way to win 5 games somehow. Somehow.
Yeah. Lamont says, you got to give them credit.
Lamont says this may be the first year where an easy schedule in April actually remained easy during the whole season. Usually, it would be like 4 or 5 surprise teams. All these teams are crappy.
All of them.
That's true. That usually, true. You say, "Well, we didn't expect Washington." And look, Washington was 5-2 headed into yesterday. Now they're 5-3. I'm not sure how good they are.
Well, I think they're a good football team. I thought the Alex Smith acquisition was a good one.
I mean, the Colts
okay, but listen, when you rank the teams that they've got the rest of the way, I guess it's Philadelphia, even though Washington has got a better record than Philadelphia. I guess it's Philadelphia that's the best team they're going to play.
Yeah, probably.
Then it's Washington. And then look, Tennessee, Cleveland, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville. The third toughest team, and the Jets, the third toughest team that the Texans will play will be the Colts.
I think it's Jacksonville because they physically are a very tough team. We know when Leonard Fournette's getting ready to come back, they're going to look a little different. That's not going to be a layup. But
when is this Leonard Fournette thing
going to
happen?
Well, they say Leonard Fournette's going to play football
again. Who are
again.
These people?
We got to see.
Who are these people?
We got to see. I would rank it.
More likely to come back, Kiki QT or Leonard Fournette?
That's a toss-up. I would rank it, realistically, we could assume that everyone just completely implodes, but I think it's going to be Philadelphia, Jacksonville, Redskins, because you're on the road, Colts. But all of them are just like, Jacksonville's playing terrible. They all hate each other. The Colts just aren't that. They play hard, and Andrew Luck's playing great. They're just not talented enough defensively. And then you got Washington. You know, Washington got smashed at home by the Colts and now by the Falcons. I mean, smashed at home. So I don't know how good Washington is. I think on any given day, of course, that's how Philadelphia looks now, where you're not sure what you're going to get from Philadelphia either. We're sitting here, why are we just, well, but this is a bit. You know what? The Texans are beating who's in front of them.
Yeah.
And this is no different than a 9-7 division winning team. We're not saying it is, but it's more fun watching a team who's going to go to the playoffs and not in the playoffs.
Yep.
Last year was an atrocity. This year we talked about there was no juice. At least the Texans, now that the Astros are out, are starting to get a little juice behind them. 6 wins in a row, and it's a favorable schedule. I feel like double-digit wins is very, very attainable.
Oh, no. They're going to win double-digit games. Absolutely.
I guess it was David. I guess his point is 5 years in now, 6-3. That's great. But is there really the upward mobility you've seen that we want to see if you're a fan to say, like, they'll host a playoff game. If the Chargers come in here.
No, it's not going to be great.
Oh, really?
Well, you give it. You got a shot.
You got a shot.
Come get some Big Philly.
You're probably not going to beat. The Chargers are pretty damn skippy.
Screw the Chargers. Beat their ass. It's time for you to talk about your backyard.
Let me tell you about so I just showed John. Does this look good or not?
That's unbelievable.
So if you go to tcplance.com, Texas Custom Patios is what TCP stands for. tcplance.com, you can see what my backyard looks like. You can see what the backyard looked like before and after, and you'll be just blown away. I put this on Facebook last year, a year and a half ago. They finished it in December of 16, and it was the most response I've ever had on anything on Facebook before. And you know why? It's because there's a lot of people out there who get excited because they say, man, my house could look like this because I saw your before, and if they can do that with your house, they can do it for mine. I made a decision back in 2014. I decided to stay in Houston instead of take a job somewhere, and I said, I want to make this house a place where I really want to live and enjoy. And so I ended up searching for patio places, And I ended up going with Texas Custom Patios. And one of the reasons, a big reason, is because of Stephen Schell, the owner. He does unbelievable work. He also is the guy who designs the patios. So you're getting the guy who actually designs the patios, and you can see exactly what the patio is going to look like, exactly what it is going to look like based on his design. And then his team puts together maybe the best patio in the entire state of Texas. And they do pergola, they do patio cover, screen porches, outdoor kitchens, room additions, outdoor living rooms, which is what I have. Whatever you're looking for, elevate your home to a place that you truly enjoy and take advantage of the space that's there with an amazing company, Texas Custom Patios. I demanded they come on and talk about it because I and advertise because I couldn't wait to tell you about them. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and you can fill out an inquiry form and they will give you a call and get you a quote. But more importantly, if you want to see the handiwork they did at my house, which is truly unbelievable, go to TCPLance.com.
ESPN 97.5.